This is episode 5 of IDRA Class Notes.
The main why students drop out is because they are not connected with school.
Sure, sure.
So this circle of adults needs to be a visible and consistent source of support. And that circle, I think, has to include families and communities, include teachers, include administrators, and everyone in knowing where things are.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dr. Bradley Scott with the Intercultural Development Research Association, and I am wanting to welcome each one of you to IDRA's Class Note podcast. We have a very exciting topic this afternoon. It's on school holding power in IDRA's Texas School Attrition Study. I have with me, and it is my delight to introduce to all of you, Dr. Maria Cuca Robledo Montesel, who is the Executive Director of the Intercultural Development Research Association. But before I get into a more extensive introduction of Dr. Montesel, just let me remind you that IDRA is a small organization with a very big mission. It is to recreate schools to work for all children. And we are excited about that. And clearly, this topic is one of the ones that IDRA has taken leadership in for more than 20 years, looking at how schools can improve themselves so that they keep students in through graduation. We are excited to have Dr. Montesel with us this afternoon because she clearly is a nationally recognized expert on the prevention and recovery of dropouts. She, in fact, directed the first statewide study of dropouts in the state of Texas. Now, under her leadership, IDRA's innovative dropout prevention program, the Coca-Cola Valued Youth Program, has made a visible difference in the lives of more than 416,000 children, families, and educators. Dr. Montesel, and we call her Cuca, has authored and co-authored a number of publications focusing on effective bilingual education, school holding power, and parent leadership. She holds a Bachelor's of Social Work from Our Lady of the Lake University in San Antonio, a Master's degree in Educational Evaluation from Antioch College, and she earned her Doctorate in Research and Evaluation from the Urban Education Program at the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee. She serves on many, many commissions, but one that I think I want to point out here is that she is an invited expert on the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for Hispanic Americans and has been named among the top 100 Hispanic influentials by Hispanic Business Magazine. We are delighted to have Cuca with us this afternoon, and clearly, when you want to talk to someone about this issue of school holding power, the increased graduation rate for our students in public schools, she is the person you want to seek out. So, Cuca, let me just simply say, I am excited to be able to have this conversation with you this afternoon. And if you don't mind, I know there might be some general comments that you might want to make about this issue and this topic to sort of frame our discussion. I would appreciate that. But before you do, are there any other comments you would want to make about this organization and what I see as its vital commitment to this topic and the importance of this topic and our leadership in it for the nation, not only for Texas and Texas public schools, but nationally as a central issue of conversation in terms of creating excellent schooling, keeping kids in school, and certainly serving our national common good and best interest. Would you just comment on some of those ideas that you might have around how important this issue, this topic is for all people?
I think that the issue of attrition of school dropouts is the central issue in education today. While we hear a lot about achievement and having our kids excel and do well, it is absolutely impossible to reach that goal when we lose a third and a half of the children that we start out with. And so without addressing the issue of how to assure that all young people graduate from high school, it becomes impossible and a bit ludicrous even to talk about achievement. It used to be the case that young people could do all right without a high school diploma. That is no longer the case. You can ask the employer at the grocery store, you can ask any person in business, and they will tell you that they look for and require a high school diploma. As we did decades ago, in moving from a model in which children did not even complete primary education to one in which they do, we now need to concentrate our energy, our resources, and our commitment to assuring that every child graduates from high school. At IDRA, we have begun an initiative that we call Graduation Guaranteed, which speaks to the commitment that we must make at the campus level, at the school district level, at the state level, and in the country to make sure that high school graduation becomes a new minimum and that kids leave high school prepared to go to college, to work, and to be productive and good citizens. And so I think that this is the central issue. I think as well, Bradley, that this is an issue that is not insurmountable. Sometimes we despair of reaching goals that seem to require far too much of us. I think this is one that is doable, and I hope to share some thoughts with you this afternoon about what we have learned will be helpful in moving in that direction.
Thank you for that. I'm amazed when we hear statistics that you just quoted, losing half of our students. We're talking about a huge problem nationally, a problem also that has a lot of different facets to it in terms of the implications of losing that number of students, particularly minority and poor kids from our public school system. Why is it, or how is it, in your estimation, that we haven't been able to do better with this problem? IDRA has known about this for more than 20 years. We now see others coming to understand that this is a huge problem. Why have we not done better with this as a nation? Why have we not held more kids in public school through graduation?
We are looking, I think, for solutions in the wrong places. I think we are looking for solutions outside of our schools. It is certainly the case that schools with community provide the support that kids need to learn, but it is schools that bring the expertise and the responsibility of educating all children. So I think it's central that we focus on what do we do in schools. Over the last 30 years in working with school districts across the U.S., we have learned that what schools must do, can do, is to focus their resources on four very important pieces of the action plan at the campus level. We must, first of all, make sure that parents are engaged in schools, that we work from an understanding that schools belong to parents and are an integral part of the community. We must secondly make sure that students are engaged with schools, that they feel a part of schools. Thirdly, we have to make sure that the quality of our teaching is consistent with the commitment that we make to children, to graduate them with options in life. And then I think importantly, we have to assure that what happens in schools in terms of learning and curriculum is of high quality and engaging to all students and available to all students. Those are, I think, the four key pieces. Before we can do that, I think there's several things to keep in mind. One is schools need the resources to get the job done. And many principal superintendents and others are concerned that those resources are not there. While educators already have a big job of keeping kids in school, I would consider assuring resources to be available to children and to schools to be an important part of that commitment. And so I would urge particularly school administrators to assure that the community and public policymakers understand why the resources are needed and where they are going toward. By the way, a very small increase in school holding power in graduating children will result in a very big increase in availability of funds and economic viability for the community. So as a principal, and I know some principals who have done this, have taken the time to look and see what are they saving the community by virtue of addressing this issue. So fair funding, important part of all of this puzzle. The second thing I think that we must assure is that our governance is geared toward graduating all kids.
That makes sense.
Has to be. The board has to speak loudly, clearly, and consistently about the importance of this issue.
As well as often.
As well as often, and not look the other way when dropout data come along and point out a problem. The same, I think, could be said of superintendents, principals, and teachers. So we own the problem, we do something about it, is an important piece of it. In order to achieve what we want, I would urge that we communicate frequently and about many things as well. I often visit with teachers as we are talking about what teachers can do in this issue, and spoke with a teacher recently who said, the school office does not tell me when one of my students has been sent to in-school suspension. I don't even know that they were sent. I don't know why they didn't come to school that day, and I didn't know why they were suspended, she said. And how can I, in the classroom, support my students in showing up if I don't get the information that is necessary to support students? So I think as we look at how to engage parents, how to engage students, how to have quality teaching, and how to make curriculum accessible, we have to assure that communication along those lines is available to everyone, and that that communication is set up around a circle of adults who are responsible for every child, so that, in fact, each student is supported in staying in school and achieving. We found back in the first study that we did, IDRA did, in 1986, a series of studies, one of which focused on the extent of the problem, another of which focused on the why of the problem. That the main why students drop out, is because they are not connected with school.
Sure, sure.
So this circle of adults needs to be a visible and consistent source of support. And that circle, I think, has to include families and communities, include teachers, include administrators, and everyone in knowing where things are. We need to develop individual graduation plans for students and assure that there is follow-up, that the student feels, no, it's not okay for you to drop out. We expect you to stay. Here's how we're going to help you. I don't think it is useful, by the way, to sermonize high school kids. I don't think it is useful to think of this issue primarily as one that is concerned with bringing students back after they leave school,
sure.
but rather proactively to create this such an intimate connection between the student and the school and the adults in it that it becomes unthinkable for the student or the adults to have a child drop out, give up on himself or herself, and give up on his or her own school. And I think that's the kind of the fundamental key, and a large part of that is how we communicate around what happens in schools and how we stay in touch with each other for the benefit of young people.
You know, just hearing you talk about that and lay that out, of course I'm very aware of IDRA's notion of valuing children and their families. There is something also, it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, very powerful in the notion that dropping out of school should be so unthinkable a part of a child's reality or an adult's reality around a given child, because that child is so important that we do what is necessary in terms of schools, how they work, how we do our business. Because that child is so important to us, we do what is necessary to support his or her staying there, and staying there with success and with excellence and so forth. That seems to also be a different way of saying that you are important to me. I value your presence. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely. And I think that too often we hear just the opposite coming from schools, and that is, well, you know, the students don't really care. Their parents don't really care, so why should we? Or, you know, they're poor, and poor kids somehow just, you know, don't have what it takes to follow through. All of those, I think, fly in the face of reality.
Absolutely.
The parents that I talk to care very deeply about their children. And I think that it is up to us as educators to use that energy, that commitment, for the benefit of the child. Valuing students can become the prism through which every administrator looks at what the school is doing. So, is this procedure, is this policy, is this way of doing things in our school a valuing of every child? Or are we sort of categorizing kids
Absolutely.
Into those that will drop out and therefore we ought not to spend a lot of energy on? It really requires that we refocus. The best way that I know how to do that is to look at children really as though they were ours.
Mm-hmm.
To look at how difficult it would be if a child of ours, a family member of ours, a friend of ours, were to drop out and the consequences that that would have. We have to make it difficult for ourselves as adults to accept children dropping out of
that's
school
excellent.
Before
I
they
mean,
graduate.
And that's very powerful when you think about it. One of my children, which one would I write off?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, I mean, to put it in that context is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful. Let me ask you this question. You talked about one of the programs that IDRA has underway, this notion of graduation guaranteed. That is a very gutsy position to take, given what you've just said about talking about the children as if they were ours.
Yes.
How on earth do you position an organization to think around guaranteeing graduation for every student, and then saying to school people that ought to be your mantra as well, that every student graduates? It's a very gutsy, a very threatening position to take.
It's a position as well that will require very focused attention. So first you take the position, you take the stand, and then you do what it takes to make sure that that happens. The most successful schools at this begin by making very public statements. We're working with some schools in West Texas, for example, that have made very, very public statements about 100% graduation is the only thing that is acceptable. not because the numbers are going to look bad, we're not going to argue about who this student belongs to. Well, you know, the elementary school sent them over to us a little bit messed up, so we at the middle school can't be responsible. Or, well, no, you know, we're at the high school and the middle school didn't do what they were supposed to be doing. They have to be public statements that really assert that 100% graduation is what is expected, and that goes all the way from policy statements to administrator public statements and private conversations with employees of a district or a campus. I think that also it is clearly important to substantiate that with what happens on a daily basis in schools. So I think that at the same time that we look to reform schools and look at them in their totality, because this is a huge problem.
Absolutely.
Why would one out of two minority students be dropping out of high school before graduation? Why would one out of three students in the state of Texas be dropping out of high school before graduation? And for that, you have to look at how we do business in schools and what we expect. But you also have to look at what plans we make for individual children and how we follow through on those.
From preschool through grade 12.
From preschool through grade 12.
And beyond, of course.
And beyond, mm-hmm. obviously, because graduation guaranteed, this IDRA initiative that I mentioned, begins with graduation from high school as a start.
Sure.
So we're not saying that that is the final goal, but that it must be the minimum goal. So very importantly, I think one must look at ways, and we're doing this with graduation guaranteed, of how do we bring parents and schools together on behalf of children? And our sense is that anything that is going to work at the school level is going to have to find ways not just of bridging, but of maximizing this relationship that can be built between schools and mm-hmm. parents.
Absolutely.
How to do that? Well, there's schools in San Antonio that are doing that by identifying parents in the school who care very much about the school, who know the community very well, who are reaching out to parents and saying, you know, we're calling just to say thank you for having your child in school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's sometimes shocking to parents.
Absolutely.
Which says a lot about how we do things, that people would just call on behalf of the school to say thank you for sending your child to our school. We will take care of your child mm-hmm. in this school. And how can we help you? And so they are making connections, for example, with the community, with clinics, with grocery stores, with many others, to assure that a community is available to the parents who support their children in school. But that notion of having parents speaking to parents and creating essentially connected networks of support for parents, but also for the school, are producing, I think, some very good results. A principal told me the other day that she had the best school opening in years. She's been a principal for more than 20 years. And that she had received an award for the highest attendance at the beginning
Excellent.
Of the year. How was that done? Over the summer, parents communicating with other parents, but being a very central part of the school. They then see each other at the local grocery store, check with each other on how their kids are doing. There is a room in the school in which parents can come in at any time, grab a cup of coffee, talk to other parents, see what's going on in the school.
So the parents really feel they are part of the campus, the school.
The parents really are a part
Yes.
of the campus and the school. And there is a lot that happens from that with regard to attendance, with regard to school completion, and many other things that we tend to think of separately from school and community. So graduation guaranteed brings parents and schools together in the school and assures that those connections are made and that they're made with very real information. It's no use trying to deceive parents about what is happening with graduation
Absolutely.
In schools.
Yeah.
They know firsthand what isn't happening and what is. And so sharing information, we have created a portal, a computer portal that schools are working with that provide them information about, well, what is the level of achievement in this school? What about reading? How are our kids doing? What about mathematics? How are they doing in that? Do we have the teachers that are certified and paid well or not? Do we have the necessary programs in order to make sure that our kids have access to good mathematics courses or not? You know, is the program of studies good for our kids? All of those things schools and communities sit together and look at and develop plans for where things need to get better and bring the energy of the local community. Our invitation to schools is that those that are interested in participating with us in using a community information portal utilized by both the school and the community to create a graduation guaranteed initiative at their local school can do so. And I would ask that you give us a call, give us a holler, see if you are interested, and we can see if we might be of some use as schools look at how to bring community and schools together, how to bring the circle of adults that focuses not only on the school as a whole, which is important, but also on the individual graduation plans of each child.
Very, very important and very big concept, this notion of an individual graduation plan for each child. To become invested in something like that would certainly suggest, and not only suggest, but strongly dictate all of the key stakeholders doing something very different from what has been done. You know, we are quickly reaching the end of our time. There's just not enough time to talk about all of this, but you have given us such a wonderful beginning in terms of looking at some of the critical big pieces that need to happen around this issue of improving school holding power and looking at this notion of guaranteed graduation for all students. It really does suggest some different kinds of new thinking, some different and new behaviors that people must embrace. But I also appreciate this critical, important connection that you've laid out for us in terms of schools and homes working together as equals in supporting children's success in schools. I think one of the other big important ideas is that you have placed at least the initial control of this reform effort squarely in the schools, because that is the business they are up to. And that becomes, I think, an important way and probably refreshingly different way of thinking about who needs to take the initial big steps toward the reformation of schools so that they work better at keeping kids in schools. And so I think I appreciate having heard that from you. I know that you have pulled on some of what you've been developing and the organization has been talking about around the Quality Schools Action Framework and those important concepts of improving curriculum and teacher quality, etc. But I also appreciate the strong comments you made around the roles that school boards have around governance issues to serve as a healthy foundation for that. So in these initiatives like your Graduation Guaranteed or the Coca-Cola Value Youth Program that IDRA has shepherded not only in Texas but around the nation and internationally. And by the way, that is a highly recognized program that works in terms of keeping students who have been placed at risk engaged in schools. Around these kinds of programs, IDRA has taken a great deal of leadership and exercised a lot of leadership. But I think in closing, if there was one major thought you would want to leave our listeners with today around this very big conversation that would help them or challenge them to look more deeply into this issue at their local level, what would that thought be, Kuka? And I hope that's a fair question to ask in closing.
Over the last 20 years since IDRA conducted its first dropout study back in 1986, 2.5 million students have been lost before graduating from high school. If we think of even one of those lives as a life that we care about, then it will become rather obvious, I think, to each one of us what the next step is, what the step is to take right after we are done with this conversation that will matter to students who have no choices in life and whose lives are being lost because of the inability of schools to hold on to students until they graduate from high school. So I would urge principals, teachers, and all of our listeners to look and see what is the immediate next step and the immediate next step after that. Mm-hmm. And those steps, I think, create a plan. Those steps create energy, enthusiasm, and a sense of possibility that is what we must do for our children.
I really want to thank you for this conversation this afternoon. We've been listening to and talking with Dr. Maria Cuca Robledo Monticel, the Executive Director of the Intercultural Development Research Association. Some very powerful and challenging thoughts we've heard this afternoon on school holding power and IDRA's work in this very important area. We would invite you to be sure to give us your feedback. We would love to hear your feedback, and you can certainly do that by visiting us at our website, at IDRA's website, that we would certainly encourage that. We would encourage any written feedback or any calls, as Cuca has suggested. Feel free to call us at area code 210-444-1710. We would welcome your call. We would welcome your feedback. And as always, we welcome your participation with us in these very important podcasts. This is Dr. Bradley Scott, and we're signing off, and I just want to tell you to take care of yourself. When you take care of yourself, you'll be in a better position to take care of children. Thank you for visiting with us this afternoon.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.